8816. Immediate suppression on target.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Shot or no shot with Cap'n J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Man, I wish we could do that. Off the show, off the air stuff, too.
Good morning and welcome into the Cap'n J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000. And we are streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. Time for Shot or No Shot is brought to you by...
That would be Club Hawthorne and the Club Hawthorne Mobile Wagering Bars. Go to HawthorneBettingBars.com. And if you want to bet sports, they've got points bet sports books at all these locations for you. Enjoy your sports gambling all weekend long. We say good morning to the Snarling Man.
Good morning, boys. Hoodie, happy to have you back. We've already made a $500 bet this morning. Yeah. We're right back into the groove here.
Man, $500. I think you're going to win that one because Cap will forget.
Oh, no. Believe me. So Jay Moore's got it now. We have a new thing we started while
on the
you
board?
Were gone.
Well, no, this just started yesterday, but over the weekend I'm going to bring a board in. And because I've been thinking about this for a long time. So whenever anybody has a rather aggressive take, we'll put it up on the board, and then it'll be up there for good.
Right.
Etched
and so
in stone.
His brain-dead take that Rivers and Ryan aren't going to the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. We now have the Philip Rivers $500 bet that he will get in the Hall of Fame. I say he says he won't.
So we're going to put it on the board?
Yes!
Hell yes!
And I cannot wait till he has to say to Kinsey, I got to take $500 out of savings. I cannot believe it. This guy went in.
Out of savings? This guy thinks I'm the biggest bum in the world. Oh, honey, we can't. $500, I can't give it. I'm sorry. We're destitute now.
I didn't say you were destitute.
Not going to make the car note this week, hon.
No, but Cap does believe you're the biggest bum in the world, though.
Well.
Here's Shay Norling. Shay?
All right, boys. The Athletic's Kevin Fishbane wrote about the biggest takeaways from Bears OTAs, and one of them... You're going to laugh. Was Fields operating two-minute drills from the pocket? He completed four passes to Dante Pettis, including a score. Four passes between Dante Pettis and DJ Moore. The score was to Pettis during a simulated two-minute drill. Shot or no shot? Improving in the two-minute drill is the single most important improvement Fields can make.
That's no shot for me. The single most important thing he can do is learn to stand in that pocket, let his iron gate protect him, and dissect the football field going through his progressions.
Yeah, that's a no shot. I think what you laid out there is exactly what I'd like to, at least from my standpoint, what I like to see from Justin Fields. Look, the one thing we know is that he can run. We know that. We know that he has a strong arm. Now it's about trying to put it all together, Cap.
Agreed.
It's the in-between game. You can run. You can throw the ball long. Now, are you able to run out of the pocket, not running down the field, but run out of the pocket, survey the scene, and then hit your targets accurately?
Agreed. We're on the same page, man.
And so Komet and DJ Moore can help like in a big way. And, you know, if Claypool's interested, maybe he's not a bust. Maybe this deal that the Bears made, maybe this will bear some fruit for the Bears.
That'd be amazing.
That'd be
if
awesome.
It does. I hope it does.
Shay.
All right, it's nearly the NBA offseason, which means it's nearly hoodie trade machine season.
Uh-huh.
Everywhere you look online right now, the blog boys are creating trades for Zach LaVine. Casey Johnson reported throughout the season, there are questions if the LaVine-Bulls marriage is a happy one. And now we have NBA writers, one from Bleacher Report, suggesting LaVine could demand a trade before his contract is up as things sour over in the Bulls in the UC. Shot or no shot? If this all ends badly, no matter what, the Bulls need to just rip the Band-Aid off and trade LaVine this summer.
I mean, what am I getting back? I don't want to start back by getting like the third or fourth or fifth pick in the first round and getting some young kid that I hope can become Zach LaVine. If you tell me I'm bringing, I don't know who it is, Damian Lillard or some star here, okay, I'm willing to talk. But just to blow it up to go, oh, we got some other 19-year-old. No, sorry. Out. No shot.
I'd like to see if Zach LaVine would demand a trade, Cap. You want out? Oh, so I could trade you anyone, right? Quick, give me Bradley Beal in here. All right, let's do that.
Yeah,
I need to replace that offense anyway. And by the way, trading Zach LaVine is not the elixir to get to where Miami is right now in the East. It takes a lot more. You could just tell, Cap. It's either you have to have a system in place. or you have to have a difference-making all-world superstar like Jokic to be able to get there.
Yes.
Here's the formula. The Heat to where they are right now, this whole Heat culture thing is real. When they've been to the finals more so than the Golden State Warriors or the Cavs, I mean, you know that that system works. Pat Riley is sitting there, and he says, you know, what really gets me going, what really, you know, gets my blood boiling and gets myself in a... He goes, I love being in the as a fan or as a person in the stands on the road when people are booing me. He said, that gets me going.
He loves it. The true competitors prefer road games to home games.
He loves it.
They love sticking it to that crowd.
So for Zach LaVine, if the Bulls traded Zach LaVine, what does that mean for the future? Like, you could trade him for Bradley Beal or someone else that could score 20 points a game, but it still doesn't move the meter for the Bulls. It takes more than just one trade. I guess that's my point.
It does.
So if he,
100%.
I mean, Shay, like, the question is, give me the question again.
Shot or no shot, if this all ends badly, no matter what, the Bulls need to just rip the Band-Aid off and trade LaVine this summer.
Well, Shay, if you use that rationale, every coach gets hired to get fired. Why don't we just start firing coaches now?
Well, it's not going to end well anyway.
No.
Yeah, but that's a different thing, isn't it? Because, like, the coach doesn't come out of your salary cap. The coach could be an ownership decision. The coach doesn't limit your ability to make your team better going forward. The LaVine deal, this, like, if you trade him this summer, you are hitting the nuclear button. You're doing the thing that, look, we're going to jump into a rebuild and we're going to get a head start on this a little bit. But you maybe free up money in 2025, 2024, 2025. You give yourself an option to get better in future free agencies rather than keeping yourself married to a guy who really isn't worth the contract that he has, which is unfortunate.
And we knew that at the time.
Right. So if I'm trading him, get me somebody back here that helps me compete right now. But I am not getting a 19-year-old kid from the G League Ignite.
But that's not the way it works. So you don't want to trade him, but that's fine. But like, if they trade him, it's going to be a rebuild situation.
I don't have a problem trading him. I do not. But I don't want a 19-year-old kid playing for, you know, Firenze in Italy because he didn't want to go to college, and now I'm hoping he becomes a good player. No.
Well, under Karnišovas, that's what you'd be getting.
Why? Why can't I get a veteran?
Well, you know, he likes the international flavor. That's his background. That's why Jokic is in Denver.
Well, if Portland's blowing their thing up.
If, yes.
That's the rumor.
Yes.
Get me Lillard and Yosef Nurkic.
For LaVine and...
whatever, however I got to make the money work.
Kobe White.
And let's go. Yeah, you can have Kobe White.
I would say shot. Go ahead, Jay.
All right, game one of the finals was last night. The Heat lost to the Nuggets in the opener in Denver. The Heat were huge underdogs at plus 350, and this is their first game one loss in these playoffs, so it looks like their fun run might be over. But shot or no shot, even if the Heat's second finals appearance in 4 years results in a loss, Jimmy Butler still gets the winner label.
Yeah, that's a shot. I think he is a winning-type ball player. I don't only judge guys on how many championships they have. Like, I love Will Perdue. Will Perdue won, what, 4 rings?
4, yep.
Okay, but no one thinks of Will as a great player. He was just a role player on the team. He would tell you that.
Be careful now.
I'm just being honest.
It's like, you know, with Will.
Will Perdue on the hotline.
Hey, okay. Will gets sensitive now. Hold on.
I'm just being honest.
I understand.
Is Charles Barkley not a winner because he never won a ring?
Yeah, well, that's where the conversation has devolved into. If you were not a champion, you are a loser. And I don't think that that's right.
Yeah, but that's horrible.
And here's why it's not right. It's not about one individual player. When it comes to team sports, it's about teams. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a whole thing. Like, the Denver Nuggets are built around Jokic, but also the others step up for them as well. It's not just the Jokic show. It's the Michael Porter Jr. show. It's Gordon. It's Murray. So it's the team aspect.
Agreed.
Just because Charles Barkley didn't win a championship, it wasn't all on him. It wasn't all on him. The Philadelphia 76ers underachieved.
Did Ernie Banks, was he a loser?
He's not a loser.
No, he was a Hall of Fame player. He had a bad organization.
He is a winner, Jimmy Butler, because he's in the right system. He's in part of this Heat culture cap in which they love to go at each other. Challenge each other, pissed off at each other. Like, Jimmy Butler is trying to fight Eric Spoelstra. Did you remember this in the regular season where Jimmy was just like, I'm tired of this, let's go. And Eric's like, you want to effing fight me? Let's go. Like, the head coach, he's going to fight Jimmy Butler, and then Haslam stepped in and said, all right, that's enough of that. That's enough. But they love to be able to make it uncomfortable for each other. Mm-hmm. That's why they're in this position now.
Correct.
They're truthful, so eye to eye. Hey, you're playing like crap. You're playing like crap. And they love to antagonize one another. Right. It's weird. It's a weird dynamic, but it's almost like Yankees Billy Martin era.
Yeah, and I don't remember if it was before you went away or if it was while you were gone. Jimmy Butler, we played the audio. Jay Moore's got it where he said, I came into Chicago, and I'm like, whoa, they're going to talk to D. Rose like that?
Yeah.
Joakim is going to yell at him, and this guy's going to yell at this one. And he goes, I'm just sitting on the bench. I'm not even getting into games. He's a rookie. He's like, that's how I learned to be tough. Because they would call you out and then let's go.
It's ultimately from Thibodeau.
Jay Moore, you've still got that cut. It speaks volumes of how it goes.
Shay Norman.
Shay.
What's the matter? What happened?
Nothing.
No, what happened? What happened?
He just told us what he said in the audio. Why do we have to now listen to the audio?
Because
you
it's
just
way...
told us exactly what he said.
No, I didn't.
Let's get the cut out.
It's way better to hear it from him. Way better.
Well, then why do we have to hear it from you?
I think it's better from you, actually.
You know, I liked it from you. You did a great job, Cap.
I just got here. Why are you telling me to go home?
Not you, him.
You did a wonderful job. The point I'm, you did a wonderful job telling us what he said. That's all.
Yeah. It was okay.
Well, don't sell yourself short now. You're a Hall of Famer. Unlike Philip Rivers.
Forget it.
All right, can you sneak in one more? Because we got around the NFL right around the corner.
Here's Charles Barkley on the NBA Finals.
You talk about underappreciated superstars. You talk about underappreciated teams. It's Denver Nuggets. Nobody has believed in them all season. And they're here. And listen, if the Miami Heat are able to win this championship, it will be, in my opinion, the greatest run ever.
Yep.
For an underdog.
Yep.
For an underdog.
Shot or no shot, he's right.
That's a shot.
What about the 99 Knicks?
What about them?
They were at bottom of the barrel seed, and they got all the way to the finals.
He said championship. You heard what the man said. It would be a shot, and here's why. The Heat were the worst shooting team in the league. They were no better than the Bulls, Cap.
Correct.
They were not. Like the reason why, what we saw in game one is what we saw in the regular season, where you say, boy, you got Gabe Vincent, you got Strus, you got Robinson. You should be able to shoot all your three. No. The shots did not fall. Max Strus, the guy that you won the Bulls, was 0 for 10 last night.
He was. 0 for 9 from 3. He had a bad night.
But
it happens.
But this off and on, this on-switch, off-switch with him and this team is not good enough to win the NBA championship. You are up 3-0, and they're so hard-headed. They got to do it the hard way. This is what the Heat do. They do it the hard way.
All the way to game 7.
But why? But why do that? Why not just take the wins and go to the basket, you know, pass the ball, and be able to hit your shots?
There's a cool interview yesterday. Spoelstra apparently got up in front of the team and said, I don't know how we're going to do this. We are winning game 7.
Yeah.
Let me just make it clear to all of you. We are winning game 7. I don't know how we'll pull it off. It's a tough task, but we are winning, period.
No one called him on the carpet, by the way, for like a guarantee. He just said, and I think Jimmy Butler's been saying it the whole time, too, like, yeah, we're going to find a way to win this series. We're going to win because they do it the hard way, Cap. That's why. They just can't just take like their talent and just be able to beat a team in 5 games. No, it took 7 to beat the Celtics. So, you know, but for the Heat, no, that's a shot. If they were able to win, it'd be like the Bulls winning the championship.
Yeah.
You know what it is? It's the 2007 Giants.
Fair.
Wild card team, barely won, barely over 500, and went and beat the juggernaut in NFL history, the 16-0 Patriots.
Show me a team that shoots 2 foul shots, and I'll show you a loser.
That's it. How about that? 2.
2 foul shots.
That's unbelievable.
So you know what that means? As a coach, you would be jumping for joy. My God, our defense was stellar. Right?
It was unbelievable.
Around the NFL, next on Cap and Jay Hood.
Okay, it's about that time. You're tuned in to the Cap and Jay Hood Show.
Everything ain't hardcore, you know.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners. He starts to come and he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
Time to go around the National Football League here on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show. Still to come, Courtney Cronin with the latest on the Bears. But right now, we turn over to Shay Norling with more. Shay?
All right, Hoodie, I know you were off this week, but I'm sure that even you couldn't escape the growing rumors after the Jimmy Garoppolo news that Tom Brady could start at quarterback for the Raiders. Yeah. An offshore betting service listed him at 2-1 odds. But Tom Brady spoke yesterday. Listen to this.
I'm certain I'm not playing again, so I've tried to make that clear, and I hate to continue to profess that because I've already told people that lots of times. But I'm looking forward to my broadcasting job at Fox next year. I'm looking forward to the opportunity ahead with the Raiders, and we're in the process of that, along with the other different things that I'm a part of professionally and in my personal life, just spending as much time with my kids as I can and seeing them grow up and support the different things that they have going on. And that's a very important job, and I take them all pretty seriously.
Do you believe him now?
Yeah, I've always believed him when this last time when he stood on the sand after the Super Bowl was over and he said, I'm done. I'm going to get right to it. Remember that post?
Yeah, I do.
It's every day you and I keep debating. Snorling. He's coming back to the Dolphins. Now it's he's done.
So it's the first time that I've heard him in a while talk about Fox, because I felt like even with this ownership with, was it the Raiders? What's the ownership?
Yeah, Raiders.
Yeah, the ownership of the Raiders, that I thought he'd focus on that and his Brady brand. But it's the first time he's talked about, oh, yeah, being a broadcaster. Like, oh, I thought he's going to walk away from that. He will not play again. I think he's done, Cap. I think that after the second to go around, the retirement, then return, couldn't get to a Super Bowl, he realizes that his skill set is limited. So he will not play again. I do believe him this time. But the Fox thing's still up in the air, though. He said the Fox job. I don't think he's going to do that job. I'm still thinking he's 55-45 that he won't do it.
Correct.
I do still wonder if there's pushback as he becomes an owner. If somebody either at Fox or in the NFL is like, hey, man, I know you want to do this. I know you signed the deal. We can't put you on TV. We got to figure something else for you.
They're not going to say that. He's Tom Brady. He'll bring ratings. He'll bring sponsors especially.
It is interesting. True. He has to keep saying he won't play. There are people out there, it seems like, maybe myself included, that, you know, like, he could get hit by a bus and be under 6 feet of dirt, and they'd still think he's coming back and starting a game next
right.
year.
He's done.
Yeah, I mean, but just like Brett Favre, it did take him a while to realize, hey, you have diminishing skills. You can't do this anymore. And so I think that he's really done this time.
Agreed. Totally agree with you.
Shay Norling.
All right, so a little bit of an update on the Lions gambling story. They've suspended 4 players so far. There are reports that the Lions have a 5th player under investigation for sports betting. Jameson Williams spoke a little bit about the policy that he violated. Mm-hmm. He said, quote, it hit me out of the blue. Oh, I didn't know he couldn't do that. I didn't know I couldn't do that. What is that, Seinfeld, Costanza, when he's hitting on the janitor? Ah, is that wrong? I didn't know I couldn't do that. Hit him out of the blue. So the Lions are starting a re-education process for all of their players on sports betting.
Yeah, how about you can't do any of it?
Let me ask you. Will this affect your bet? All this shroud of controversy.
No, I'm going to double down.
Oh, you think that's going to push them even more so?
They're going to gambling in lockstep.
Uh-huh.
With the knee biter, Dan Campbell.
What if Dan Campbell's part of it? The old
then
gambling ring.
Problem.
The gambling ring.
Right. We got a problem.
Well, I'm just, Cap, I mean, it's a good question, though, right? I mean, if you don't think that this will affect the Lion at all?
I do not.
Okay.
I do not.
All right.
Let's go.
I think it has somewhat of an effect, and it's kind of ridiculous. Like, oh, I didn't know I could do that. I mean, you can have that defense, but there's signs up in the building that you can't gamble. And why would I do it on campus? Why would I do it at, you know, where the Lions practice?
Well, like,
it's dumb.
Like, if you were a player, why would you not say to your brother, your sister, your best friend, you got a guy that works for you, takes care of all your stuff? Hey, man. I want to get down on this game tonight. I want to watch it. I want to have a parlay. Here's $100. Put it down for me.
It's ridiculous.
How would you do it sitting at the facility?
Yeah, sitting at your locker like, yeah, I like the Sky plus 10 against the Liberty tonight.
And they weren't even betting on the NFL. Like, he understood that part of it.
Just gave you a bet.
Just don't do it on the league Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Bet the Scott in it.
I said, go ahead. 10-point
I need favorite. Action. I'm going to be in Wisconsin. 10-point Dumbass favorite. State you can't gamble in. And I need
take it easy, Fib. Relax. You're going to get yourself in trouble up
I
there.
I got Wisconsin plates. Take that. I want to have a little action tonight.
But you can't.
So I'm going to bet before I leave.
Yes. That's not a problem in Tennessee. Bam! Right there. I'm like, this state knows how to operate.
Correct.
College and pro.
Love Wisconsin, but what are you doing?
Yeah. They should be universal.
Can't buy weed. Can't gamble. I mean, what are we doing here?
Shane Orley.
CBS Sports has ranked the NFL's most complete teams, and at number one, it is not the Kansas City Chiefs. It is the Philadelphia Eagles, citing their biggest strengths offensive line on offense, and their biggest strength on defense is the defensive line. They are the most complete team in football. True or false?
That's false. And even you, Shay, would say that it's a little bit of a regression, right? A little bit of regression?
They did lose some pieces on the defensive side of the ball. Losing both coordinators, I think people are overlooking that a little bit. Shane Steichen, Gannon was not great, but the replacements they brought in on the defensive side aren't great either. Matt Patricia. Losing Shane Steichen, the offensive coordinator, I think is being glossed over a bit.
Let's put in the date. Put on their phone at least once every other week as we get ready for the season to keep our eyes on Jalen Carter.
Why is Jonathan Gannon not great last year?
Did you see their defense in the playoffs?
I saw their defense throughout the season. They almost set a record for sacks.
Yeah, did you see their defense in the air? It was not great. Eagles fans, Eagles media, we're not happy to or we're not sad to see him go.
Yeah, I don't put it on him as much as the players.
So as I was saying, let's keep our eyes on Jalen Carter. We talk about the defense.
Did you hear about him breaking the tackling dummy?
Yeah.
Fired off the ball on a tackling dummy and snapped it.
Yeah.
Okay, that is a animal. I mean, he's, like, ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see.
But I want to keep my eyes on that. I think, Shay, you were telling me about the win total for the Eagles, and you felt like they went to the Super Bowl maybe a tick step back from where they were last year.
I know for sure the Giants, I said, I think will take a significant step back. The Eagles, I don't think they have very far
to
go back.
I think Dallas wins that division.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised the Eagles don't win it, but I think the Eagles are still a 10-11 win team.
Yeah, they're a really good team. I think Dallas wins the division.
Here's what I need you to do. I need you to watch and get a body of work from Dallas before you make that statement. What are you on, First Take? What are you doing there?
I'm auditioning for Shannon's spot.
I think that you'd make it with that. Talking about the Dallas Cowboys.
Come on, Skip.
Yeah.
Skip, is that good enough?
Hey, Skip.
Skip, is that a good enough opinion, Skip? Come on, Skip.
Well, everything I read, you got to agree with Skip, so I guess you'd be good with that.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God. Saw that coming a mile away.
Wow.
Can't do that, man.
By the way, sidebar, may I approach?
Brought to you, Aiken Law.
312-6 million for the great Howard Aiken.
Semi ball.
Speaking of Jalen Carter, the kid that rotated with him at the University of Georgia, kid Bear Claw was his name.
Not Bear. Go ahead. It's not Bear Claw.
He transferred.
Yes.
Out!
Yeah.
Said he wasn't comfortable at Georgia. Only won two national titles in the last 2 years.
No problem.
He's on Black's Club now. I think he's at USC.
We just reload. That's fine.
Wow.
I like him coming in garbage time, and that was early in the national championship.
Olin's nephew is the new star quarterback at Georgia.
Yeah.
Rayola.
Yeah.
They said the best quarterback prospect they've seen in eons.
We've been needing that for a long time. All I can tell you is that Bear's going to be fine, but you know how we reload. I love how the game was out of reach, Shay, like in the first quarter. It's like, all right, let's take our starters out. By the way, we got this freshman. Go ahead, Bear.
Guy was
mauling people.
I called Hoodie. I said, who is that?
That's one of our freshmen.
He's a freshman. Oh, my God.
He's almost a monster.
Like, we don't have people like that around us in our lives. 6'6", 330, run 4.84. What? It's not human.
Here's Shay Norling.
A little bit of controversy, Hoodie, in the SEC. A lot of Power 5 conferences have adopted 9-game conference schedules. The SEC is one of the few that hasn't. They said they're going to stick to the 8-game schedule for now, which will, of course, allow the Alabamas and Georgias of the world to continue playing games against Mercer in November.
Hey! That's a tough Mercer team. You seen their defense?
It is.
Go ahead.
Bringing in William and Mary this weekend, right. November 15th. William and Mary coming to Athens.
Okay.
It's ridiculous. You know what? Your conference and Abdallah's conference needs to act like a big boy conference. Time to play nine games. Pony up. Let's go.
Wow. Eight or nine, we're still going to be in the hunt for the national title. Eight or nine, don't matter. We're still going to get it done. We need to tune up, though. Got to get ready.
You know the last, Georgia and Alabama, if you go through their schedules in the regular season, Georgia and Alabama play each other in the regular season once every 8 years. It's not right.
Can I tell you something? Thank God for that. Thank God. You think I want to play Abdallah every year? Absolutely not. Alabama? No shot. We got our own power here. We'll take on Tennessee and Florida, the Patsies in the SEC.
Vanderbilt.
Yeah, but we're not.
South Carolina.
Yeah. Otherwise, no. No, thank you. Courtney Cronin with the latest on the Bears. She'll join us. And don't forget, we're going to find out what's going on with the weekend weather with Tracy Butler at 9:50. All part of the mix on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show.
Here's today's headlines with Cap and J-Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. The White Sox start a three-game set against the Tigers at Guaranteed Rate Field tonight, 6:30 right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. Sox are 7.5 games out of first despite 12 games under 500. The Cubs start a four-game weekend set that will finish Monday in San Diego tonight. Cubs are just 4.5 games out of the NL Central. The Nuggets took game one in the finals against the Heat last night. Jokic with a triple-double. Adam Silver said that ruling on Ja Morant will come after the finals. The Sky will take on the Liberty tonight. The Sky are 3-2 on the season. Jay Moore.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's Home for Sports. ESPN Chicago.
Keep your beak out of this.
Courtney Cronin, National Chicago Bears reporter for ESPN.
I think you have to temper expectations if you are a Bears fan, just given everything that this team had to kind of undo.
Breaking down the Bears and the latest NFL storylines.
Team transcendent quarterback Russ is not this guy. You know, he's very legacy conscious. He wanted to go to Denver and build something and win a Super Bowl there.
Courtney Cronin with Kevin J. Hood on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Don't worry, call the Car X man.
Courtney Cronin on the Car X Tire and Auto Hotline. Good morning, Courtney.
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
What's up, Double C?
We're doing fine, thank you. I want to talk to you about the defense. We talk so much about the offense and Justin Fields. How about the defense? What are some of the thoughts from Alan Williams, the defensive coordinator, about what he wants to do to kind of reimagine this defense?
We haven't learned a whole lot about scheme changes, anything like that. I think that stuff's going to come because you've got to look at just not only the ineffectiveness of the pass rush by the personnel, but I think I've said this a lot of times. It felt very basic, and it felt like the scheme sometimes got out-coached on the other side of it by opponents. So I know that we're going to hear more about that, and we'll find like little tweaks to things and how they might utilize linebackers differently to help aid the pass rush in ways that they might need to this year to compensate for some of the things that they don't have up front. But, you know, from Alan Williams the other day, we heard a little bit about Jalen Johnson and how, you know, I don't think he really said all that much about his absence, and we do know that he said he's planning to come back this next week to OTAs. But the early impact and the necessity for Tremaine Edmonds and TJ Edwards in this defense, they're going to have a really big role, and that might be kind of the foundation of the defense this year, just based on some of the things that they don't have up front and how to kind of keep that thing a cohesive unit.
Courtney, let's talk about the offensive line. Nate Davis isn't here. I don't think it's a huge deal that an offensive lineman isn't here for OTAs. I think it's more important the quarterback be here and his new star receiver be here. And they are, and all's good. What is the deal behind that?
In terms of
Nate Davis not being here? Because he signed as a free agent here, so it's not a contract thing.
It shouldn't be. And I know that he had some injury at the end of last season, but it didn't seem like it was anything. I mean, he signed here in March. He talked to us as a free during his free agent press conference. I didn't really glean that there was any sort of injury holdup with him. I disagree with that. I think that it is important for offensive linemen to be present for OTAs. I think it's important for everybody to be present. Like, The fact that it's voluntary is voluntary in name only. The NFLPA will never try to lobby for that thing to be 100% attendance, because that it's a disservice to the players. If players don't want to be there for whatever reason, whether it's contract leverage, whether it's anything else, like what we heard with Jalen Johnson, you know, telling us that he was tending to some personal things with his daughter and with his foundation, they're going to try to keep that thing open. But I go back to what Justin Fields said a week ago, that he wants all of the new guys and young players to be there to learn the offense. We know that Nate Davis has played in his own blocking scheme, and Cody Whitehair said the other day that he didn't feel like it's going to be that big of a deal. Like, once they get him in, doesn't seem like there's going to be that big of a learning curve. I just think that when you are looking at a unit that has been such a black eye for this offense and has really struggled to protect the quarterback, you'd probably want to get as much cohesion going on now versus having to wait until mandatory minicamp and then training camp to do that. If guys want to work out on their own, that's one thing. I just find that it doesn't necessarily make sense when everybody else is there, unless there is some mitigating circumstance for a player to not be there, especially someone who has never played a down of football for this team.
Alan Williams on the defensive end improvement.
I do. And I would say yes, and I'd say what makes me think that. Yeah, just being out there and seeing how they're working, how they're rushing the passer. We keep a chart of production, and their production is up, different from last year, specific guys, the understanding that they have of the defense. So all those things are better than they were last year. So that leads me to believe that we'll be better. Now, the caveat is that we don't have pads on right now. And so you'll never know until you know. But the arrow is still, for me, it's pointing up and sky high.
As you know, Courtney, I've got the depth chart right here cooking. Got the one, the tabs open, always looking at the Bears depth chart. Do you foresee one of these rookies being able to start the season? Again, I know we're a long way away, but I'm looking at the depth chart, and there's still, you have either a veteran or a backup. Like, for instance, like Zach Pickens or Dexter. Do you think that they could start over one of these veterans that's on this depth chart?
Well, I hope you're not looking at the ESPN.com depth chart, because as we know from the day after the draft, couldn't they relegate Tevin Jenkins basically off the roster? So I hope you're looking at a depth chart that's accurate.
No, yeah. I'm not looking at yours.
That my employer has out there.
Yes, but our legs.
The defensive line's built from the outside in, and maybe that's a little unconventional, just given how, you know, a lot of defensive lines and the importance of edge rushers, that's why it's a premium position. But they might have to do something differently if they don't get somebody in here. And we know it's June 2nd, like there is still time. Mm-hmm. But I think that what you're seeing right now with Andrew Billings and Justin Jones with the ones in OTAs, like that's what you expect. These guys have been in the NFL. I know Billings just got here, but they've played a lot of football. And what Alan Williams said, I believe it was rookie minicamp, that Justin Jones right now is their three technique. That's either a cry for help or pleading to whomever is listening. If you want to go into the season with Justin Jones as your three technique, then okay. But yeah. I think that there is a lot that can be changed there. And when you have a Jervon Dexter and a Zach Pickens and two guys that you spent considerably high draft picks on, they're going to get their chance to start from a very early spot. They're going to have to win that job, but they cannot go into the season. Like, I know what Alan Williams and that word salad of we're charting things, they are getting better, but we're not in pads. Yeah, like, it's going to look okay for right now, because you're not having them do all that much that requires the skill of a pass rusher. They're basically going at 50% speed, and it's not much that you can really glean, but I think that the young players that they brought in, particularly on the interior of the defensive line, are going to be what they bank on this year, because DeMarcus Walker has inside-outside flexibility. He's probably starting outside on first and second down because they just don't have the other bodies there that could complement, you know, a Dominique Robinson on the other side of that pass rush from the edge position. But, yeah, I do think the two rookies will end up playing considerable amount of snaps this year.
In terms of the post June 1 releases, like Dalvin Cook's name is out there. DeAndre Hopkins was already released. They're taking the accelerated cap hit into this year in its entirety, like the Bears did with Khalil Mack. Are the Bears going to be on those lists for any of these big name types of players? Because it sounds like Hopkins is all in to try and go somewhere to win.
is the price going to come down on a DeAndre Hopkins? Because as we know from last week, after he got released and the information comes out, well, hey, the Arizona Cardinals were trying to trade him, but nobody wanted to take on that $19.5 million base salary. Is he going to be willing to take a pay cut? Because if you want to go to a contender, that list that he put out, whether it is Kansas City, Buffalo, anywhere else, Philly was on that list too, there's going to have to be some concessions on his part where he's going to probably have to take a pay cut to do that. And Odell Beckham Jr.'s deal that he signed with the Ravens, the one-year $15 million contract, doesn't really help his case. If he is willing, if he is wanting to still make a considerable amount of money, he's 30 years old. We know that receivers don't typically have a lot of big contracts after that point. I agree. I think he's going to a contender. I just don't know what the price is going to be because he would have already signed. If he wanted to, if he was going to get what he wanted and keeping his salary around where it was with Arizona, he would have already gotten that by now. I think teams are waiting to see is, you know, what he's willing to come down to and if it's feasible. But the Bears should at least make a call. I don't think there's literally no harm in that. And if he could come to Chicago, that immediately impacts the offense and doesn't hurt DJ Moore, doesn't hurt Chase Claypool, doesn't hurt Darnell Mooney. It only adds to that room. But I think that's such a long shot, even though they do have the resources to make it happen because of where DeAndre Hopkins is at this point of his career and wanting to go somewhere and get paid to go to a place where he can win.
You going to see Taylor Swift this weekend?
I'm not. So I was walking out of my place last night and two people on Divvy bikes were going through my neighborhood asking, do you need Taylor Swift tickets? And I thought to myself, is this a scam or should I at least like just feel it out there? But I didn't. So I've heard the tickets are now going for like thousands of dollars for
one
night.
That's correct. And they were lined up at 1 a.m. yesterday morning to get merch that went on sale at 10 a.m. yesterday.
How did they get away with this? That's highway robbery. I saw Beyonce and it wasn't even that expensive.
Well, this is not the face value. This is what the market's bearing.
I'm shocked that people, I mean, I'm not going to tell people how to fan or how to do anything with their money. I'm shocked that people are willing to pay that amount. But she is playing for 4 hours a night, so you are getting your money's worth. But I got tickets cheaper to see Dave Matthews Band back in my prime for playing 3 hour shows. They were definitely not
back in your prime or his prime.
Well, it was definitely my prime, my early 20s when I would go to like 5 or 6 shows a year. That was those were my concert going days. I don't have those anymore.
Okay, be careful with her prime, Don Lemon. Don't worry about it.
I'm not talking about that. She said it.
All right, Lemon. Just be careful.
Wow.
Just be careful about someone. So much prime.
What would you spend that kind of money on?
Hey, Lemon.
Wow. If there was a sporting event that I really wanted, well, I did spend that kind of money. When we went to Game 5 of the World Series, my brother and I waited that Sunday morning after they lose Games 3 and 4. It's like, do we want to go? Because I was working out in California at the time, and I came home because the Raiders were on a bye, or the Raiders were in Tampa Bay for a game, and the 49ers were on a bye. So I really wanted to go to at least one game at Wrigley. And we waited. Tickets dropped about 20% that morning, and we got bleacher seats. I want to say we paid $1,200 to $1,400 per ticket for the bleachers.
That's what that guy tweeted us.
And worth it because that was the turnaround. That was the first game they had won in a World Series at Wrigley Field since like the World War II days. So I look back at that. And I don't regret anything about that purchase. Now I'm sure somebody else will say, well, that sort of sentiment they would feel with going to Taylor Swift tonight and paying $1,000 plus a ticket. I just don't have that sort of, she's not a kindred spirit to me. Like that, to whoever likes her music, loves her music, resonates with it, that's wonderful. I don't listen to her all that often, but I'm sure she will put on a great show and I'm sure you will get your money's worth. Just don't spend $250 on a hoodie. That's dumb. You're chasing clout if you're doing that.
Thank you, Courtney.
Courtney, you're awesome.
Bye. I'll see you guys soon. Take care.
This is Courtney Cronin who covers the Bears and the NFL for ESPN.com.
Coming up, CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. Just imitating you.
Coming up next, Charles Barkley's thoughts on FaceTime. That's next with Don Lemon, Jay Hood with you on Chicago's Home for Sports.
Cap and Jay Hood are back.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
On Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Captain Jay Hood on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000. Still to come, we'll hear from Jesse Rogers, the latest in the Cubs and the White Sox, right here on this fabulous Friday. Hope that you're going to have a great weekend here on ESPN 1000. So here's the question, Cap. You know, when it comes to machismo, being a man, there's certain things you're not supposed to do. I mean, there's like this unwritten book. There are just some things you do, some things you don't do.
You don't do this, you don't do that, or you tune out the freaking matote and you do what's best for you.
Yeah, you know, sometimes the rule for a man is kind of like baseball, right? The unwritten baseball rules.
Don't bunt in a no-hitter.
I just saw a clip of that, a shilling.
Yeah.
He was the pitcher of that, the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Couldn't happen to a nicer dude.
So Charles Barkley, who, by the way, I'm surprised he's still on the air. Usually when his conference championship is done, you don't see him again until the next season. He's actually doing the finals. I was surprised.
He is.
On NBA TV. I didn't expect to see him there. It surprised me.
When you give him a new deal for $200 million, you get a few extra days.
You should, yes. Right? You should be doing that. Charles Barkley says, dudes don't FaceTime each other. It's inappropriate.
Hey, the ball goes further. We play tomorrow, it's going to affect them. I cannot wait to play you tomorrow. It's great. You be sending me videos of your swing. Be FaceTime me. You know dudes don't FaceTime each other. That's inappropriate.
Really?
Dudes don't FaceTime each other,
that's
man.
Right.
Dudes don't FaceTime each other.
All right, Chuck.
Okay, just telling you.
Okay, he's just telling you, like you tell people.
Yeah, and I'm just telling you.
Yeah?
I do FaceTime people.
Yes.
Absolutely, I do. I absolutely do. Like, I have a couple of guys that work with me on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
When we have a business call, we FaceTime.
Sure.
I can set up a Zoom link and go through all of that, but I'm in the car.
But
I pull over and we FaceTime.
What if someone is showing you their golf swing and they FaceTime me? You're okay with that?
Who is it?
No, come on. If somebody FaceTimes you to show you their golf swing, hang up the phone.
Well, who is it? Is it
Cappy? I want to show you my swing. Check out this cut. No, hang up. What are you, George Bush? Check out this drive. Hang up.
Well, it depends who it is. If my brother FaceTimes me and says, kid, take a look at my golf swing for a second. I'm going to.
Yes.
If you did that, I'm going to. If it's Shay, I'm hanging up. He doesn't golf. He's just doing it to mess with me then. Correct.
Yes. So it all depends on who it is when it comes to the FaceTime. I see. So you can't FaceTime me because when you call me, it's on a rotary phone. And it's stationary. Call Cap FA4. Call it. What? I said FA4. Give him a call.
I have someone in my life, a friend of mine who you know, who does not call me on the audio portion.
Mm-hmm.
Only FaceTimes.
Yes.
Jordan Cornett.
Yes.
Only FaceTimes.
I don't know why that is. Is it cheaper?
He's on what? No, because you pay for the phone. I mean, you get the calls.
Yeah.
Remember, it used to be a toll call if you called from, I lived in Skokie.
Mm-hmm.
And I called my dad at the office. That's a toll call. Remember that?
Yes.
Free nights and weekends.
Free nights and weekends was like a big thing back then. Call your girlfriend in another town. Wait till after 7. You got free nights. I remember my dad.
That, yeah.
What is with the phone bill? You were on the phone for how? How do you know? Right here, and they had to pay for the call.
Yes,
and in the area,
the itemized list of calls. It would be right there on the paper
that
bill.
Thick Illinois Bell phone bill. Yes.
What's this? How long were you on the phone with this girl?
Sorry. I remember my son, Alex.
Sorry.
We got the bill of text messages.
Mm-hmm.
He has texted 1,178 times. Who has time to... And then you start realizing you go back and forth with people. They add up quick.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Right.
So, no. What are you? Do you FaceTime with somebody if it's a dude? I'd rather not. Unless it's a business meeting.
When you and I speak, we do not FaceTime.
No. It's on the phone.
Right.
Yes. But I FaceTime another dude? No. Unless Jay Moore's in trouble.
You could do whatever you want.
Yes. If just Jay Moore's in trouble, if he's going to jail.
By the way, Jay Moore wrote a song. It is so good that it is now the anthem of Chicago sports.
Okay. I can't wait to hear that. In 2 minutes, we will have some thoughts about, Ja Morant is in some deep, deep trouble. Deep trouble. We'll explain that coming up next. 2 minutes on Cap and J Hood.